You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Vaccinations have become an increasingly important topic over the past year. While countries around the world prepare to roll them out in an attempt to stop the COVID-19 pandemic, there has also been significant misinformation across the internet. Recently, a court ruled that a 4-year-old under the protection of Oranga Tamariki could get vaccinations despite the protests of her father. I spoke to Professor John McMillan from the University of Otago's Bioethics Centre about what the case meant and New Zealand's attitudes towards vaccines more generally. I started by asking the ethical implications of the court's ruling.
So I think it's important when interpreting the judgment and looking at how it's been discussed in the news to pay attention to what the judge has in fact said, what the order says. So it's not the case that the judgment has said that the child must be immunised. What the order in effect does, if you go to the last page of it, it says that the general practitioner may be able to see this child and provide immunisation in accordance with the Ministry of Health guidelines. So what it's done is said that the family's GP can see this child and do their usual discussions around immunisation and provide that without worrying about further action challenging them not having consent from the father.
So is this an important precedent that has been set, or is it something that happens regularly?
So it looks to me like it's not a very important precedent for New Zealand, because there have been a number of other cases where the judges have said similar things. So the precedent that the judge talks about in the judgment was quite clearly outlined. What I think is interesting about this and worth giving some thought to is the timing of it, because of course we're about to embark on an immunisation program for COVID-19, and when a judge makes a decision of this kind, it's in part reinforcing the message that comes from the Ministry of Health about the safety and evidence base for vaccines. So I think that's an interesting feature of this.
And yeah, so talking about COVID-19, that is something I'm definitely interested in talking about. There's been something mentioned quite a lot in the media, the idea of vaccine passports. So if we don't get herd immunity, there may be a sort of system whereby people can only go to particular places if they have a vaccine. Do you think this sort of system could come into play, and do you think it would be useful?
Well, my own view about it, and it's not something I've looked into closely, is that, well, people have been discussing the possibility of vaccine passports for a while, and there are definitely some wrinkles and some arguments against these, and they are around who it is that's going to be able to travel and to get one of these and those sorts of issues. But realistically, you would have thought that they're almost inevitable. So I suspect it's one of these things which will have some issues with it, but it's highly likely to happen.
Do you think it would be useful? First of all, do you think it is possible? And second of all, do you think it would be useful if vaccines were state mandated?
So they would. The implications of that would be quite profound. And I think that's one of the reasons why, when thinking about this recent case, honing in on what the legal decision actually is. So it's not that this child must get this this jab. If you go back to this case, what it was there was, in effect, three people who had guardianship for that child. There was the dad, the mum, and Oranga Tamariki. And there was a disagreement between the three of them about whether or not the child should have immunisation. So what the court has done is adjudicated on that and said, no, we're going to go with what the mum and Oranga Tamariki have said and give the GP permission. So it's not a case where the judges have said this is going to happen, and with respect to whether or not the government will say everyone's going to get a COVID-19 jab, that's not going to happen either, because it would raise this fundamental question about being compelled or forced to accept medical treatment. And it just isn't going to, that's not what's going to happen. And you can think about this. So under the COVID order, there have been cases where people have declined the COVID test, and what the government's done, or what the Ministry of Health order has done, is said, well, you need to stay in for a bit longer. They could have said, we're going to make you have this test, and they haven't. And it's for the same reasons, which it would ultimately be unworkable. It would involve, you can imagine what's involved in forcibly giving someone a COVID test or forcibly giving them an immunisation. It's not how it's going to happen.
And recently, there does seem to be growing trends of misinformation online about vaccines, with more and more conspiracy theories. Do you think this trend of misinformation is likely to change, or will it continue?
Well, I would hope that we come up with ways to present information to the public in a way that's neutral, objective, and evidence-based, and that it works as an effective counter to misinformation of all sorts which is out there. So I guess my hope is that we come up with ways to communicate about COVID-19 vaccine, all matters to do with health, that is accessible to people, respects people's views, and has the credibility to outweigh information that's clearly misinformation. So to answer your question, I don't think that we're going to see an end of misinformation being spread. My hope is that we'll find effective ways to present quasi-information.
And I have one final question around the ethics of vaccines, and it's on a more global scale. So it seems that a lot of wealthier countries are getting access to the vaccine before poorer countries. What are the implications of this, and can it be solved?
Well, it's been interesting to follow the WHO on this, and they're very attuned to the importance of this, because the worry is that unless we manage to have a global immunisation campaign for COVID-19, you might shut it down in some countries for a while, but if it continues to thrive in others, it will mutate and will get moved backwards. So it's kind of like a vitally important question. The term that people are using is vaccine nationalism. And if you think about kind of nationalism of any form, it's in some way prioritising or setting the kind of interests of a particular nation above those of others. Now, in this particular issue, it's a very significant problem in terms of us reaching a kind of an ultimate solution to this virus. I think New Zealand's done pretty well on this, and a number of other countries too have demonstrated a commitment to sharing a vaccine with countries who would otherwise not get it quickly enough or in high enough demand, but there will be countries who can and should be doing more.
That was Professor John McMillan from the University of Otago's Bioethics Centre about New Zealand's attitudes towards vaccines.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.